A little while ago, Troy Willoughby said, "I didn't think you were supposed to be here this Sunday. Before I came to be with you, I had plans to be presenting in Denver, Colorado, and a month or so ago, I got out of that, felt like I didn't need to be gone. But I had already arranged for Dr. Reginald Ponder to be with us this Sunday and wanted him to come and share with you. He is President Emeritus and Director of Church Relations and Development with our Methodist Retirement Homes. And he has been a faithful member of the North Carolina Annual Conference. I've known him for many years. Next Sunday, as part of Mother's Day, as the tradition is in our conference, we will have bulletin inserts where we can give for the support of our Methodist Retirement Homes. But Reggie agreed to come and be with us, and I'm glad, as a brother in Christ, he will come and share the Word of God with you. Reggie, welcome to St. Matthew.
Thank you, Mike, and good morning. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Master, speak, thy servant heareth. Master, speak, oh, speak to me. Master, speak to these your people in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. This morning I want us to think about the topic of the hospitality of God. And as I think about that, I think about Jesus himself being one who always extended hospitality to every person he met. Even when Jesus was the guest, it was he who offered signs of hospitality. He lived in the world as a host to people who were often strangers and estranged. The two scriptures today share the message of how we are to extend God's hospitality to persons. First, we see in the widow of Zarephath a woman who was gathering up sticks to go home and build a fire and make a morsel of bread, a small cake for her and her son, and it would be the last meal that they would have because they would have no more food. And as she was gathering sticks, this strange man came into town and spoke to her and asked her for a cup of water. She was getting water for him, and while she was doing so, and he said, "And while you're at it, if you will, bring me some bread." And she turned to him and told him of her dire circumstance and said, "I really don't have any bread to share with you." And he said, "Well, if you'll bring me just a little cake, the meal in your jar will never run out, and the oil in your jug will always be there until God sends rain on the land." She took him at his word. It was a courageous thing to do. She shared with this stranger the last bit of food that she would have for her and her family. And they ate. And for all the while that Elijah was there, she and he and her family ate from this small amount of meal and oil, and it never gave out. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he was trying to share with them this message of hospitality, and he says, "Whoever welcomes you or whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." In other words, as you open your arms to welcome people, you are indeed welcoming Jesus and God the Father into your life and into the lives of those around you. Hospitality is a wonderful thing. In fact, in our generation, a whole industry has grown up called the hospitality industry. Perhaps some of you are engaged in the hospitality industry, either doing food service or providing lodging in some form of, or another for people who are travelers. And we're trained to welcome people, to show them the grace of hospitality when we serve in the hospitality industry. But Jesus is talking about more than just the mere performance of a job or a duty. He's talking about a grace through which you open your lives up to receive the other person. While thinking about hospitality and the hospitality industry, I thought of an experience Carrie, my wife, and I had a number of years ago. We were invited into the home of Bishop Robert Morgan. They just built a new house up at Lake Junaluska, and he and his wife had invited us and another couple to come and share their new home with them and to share their hospitality. And as we sat down at the table, he said, "I want to tell you a story before we have the blessing and before we have the meal." And he told the story about this Eastern Kentucky humorist who was invited to entertain at the White House. And he and his wife went on that momentous day up to Lexington, and there they met Air Force One at the Lexington Airport, and they were transported to Andrews Air Force Base, and there they were met by a color guard, and there was a limousine to take them to their quarters for the evening, and they were taken to this hotel and taken to a beautiful penthouse suite, and there they were to spend the night. At 7 o'clock sharp, the limousine was to return to take the man and his wife to the White House for the evening. 7 o'clock, they were there. They got in the limousine. They went to the White House. They had a wonderful meal. The man entertained the president and his family and the guests that were at the White House. They shared an informal time together. They went back to the hotel, and they began to talk about this momentous evening, certainly the most high occasion in their life. They had never entertained or been with the president and his family in such distinguished company before. And finally, the man looked at his watch and he realized it was 11:30, which is what time it is now, by the way. And he looked at his watch and he said, "Honey, I'm tired. I'm going to bed." She just sat there. He said, "Aren't you going to bed with me?" He said, it's time for bed. And she said, "Do you know what hotel we're staying in?" And he said, "No, I don't have the slightest idea. I didn't pay any attention." She said, "We're staying in the Watergate Hotel." And she said, "I'm sure there's some kind of surveillance device in this hotel, and I'm not going to take my clothes off." He said, "You're being silly. There's nothing like that. That was a long time ago, and nothing like that." And to make certain, he looked behind the curtains, he looked in the closet, he looked under the bed, he looked everywhere. He said, "Honey, there's no kind of surveillance device in here. Will you come on to bed?" She said, "I won't do it." He said, "Look under the rug." There was a beautiful oriental rug on the floor there before him, and he rolled back the rug, and sure enough, there was this brass plate about 7 or 8 inches in diameter that was affixed to the floor with two screws. He took out his pocket knife and he unscrewed the screws and he lifted up the plate. And he said, "There's some wiring down here, but the wires are all capped off." He said, "There's no surveillance device under this plate." And he put it back down and screwed it down and rolled the rug back. And he said, "Now will you please come to bed?" She looked around, and rather cautiously she dressed for the evening to go to bed. And they went to bed. They had a wonderful night's rest. They got up the next morning. We're going to have breakfast in the coffee shop. And as they crossed the lobby of the hotel, they went by the front desk, and a young man there was trained in the hospitality industry. He greeted them. He said, called them by name and said, "I hope you had a good night's rest." They said, "We did, a wonderful night's rest. This is the finest accommodation we've ever had." He said, "Well, the people in the room beneath you were having a good night's rest until the chandelier fell in the middle of the bed." And Bishop Morgan said, "I tell you that story because, you know, we've tried to do the best we could tonight, but sometimes the chandelier falls in the bed." And I've had that experience. You know, I try to do things for people to make them feel welcome, and sometimes it just falls flat. You know, the cake won't rise, or or the biscuits are hard or something like that. It just doesn't work out. But nevertheless, we're encouraged to continue to offer hospitality to people. That's the way of life for the Christian. In fact, it is the way of evangelism, that we reach out to people as we open our lives to them and welcome them into our homes and into our lives. I think I discovered that about 30 years ago, reading a little book written by Henry Nouwen, the Dutch priest. The book is entitled The Wounded Healer, and in the ninth chapter of that book, entitled Ministry by a Lonely Minister, he talks about how we are to offer hospitality. And he defines this hospitality of God in this way. He says, hospitality is the virtue which allows us to break through the narrowness of our own fears and to open our hearts and our houses to the stranger, with the understanding that salvation comes to us in the form of a tired traveler. Salvation comes to us, to you and to me, as we open our lives up to offer hospitality to others. He says hospitality transforms anxious disciples into powerful witnesses. We see that on the day of Pentecost. Make suspicious owners into generous givers, and enables closed-minded persons to become recipients of new ideas and insights. For me, hospitality is simply opening our arms and our hearts and our lives to every person we meet, showing them the grace and the love of God. The story is told of an elderly gentleman who was brought to a psychiatric hospital. He was living in rage, flailing out at everyone around him, and every time somebody tried to do something for him, he reacted in angry ways. And as he was brought to the hospital, he was placed under the care of a young physician. And the young physician sat in his presence and talked to him quietly and softly, and began to stroke his arms and his shoulders to offer him love and grace. He asked the attendants if they would to pry open his hands. His fingers were squeezed tightly, so tightly that the nails were digging into the flesh of his hands. And as they massaged his hands and opened them finger by finger, they found in his hands two small coins. It was as if he was hanging on to those coins, hanging on to his very life. And if he were to give those up, he would have no life any longer. And often that's the way it is with us when we are encountered by strangers and strange people. We hug ourselves, we clamp up and we tighten up and we fail to reach out to those persons, as if when we give them our love and our grace and our hospitality and caring, we will lose what we have. You see, the message of the gospel is that the meal in our jar will never give out, and the oil in our jug will always be there when we offer it to someone else. That's the good news. That's what Jesus teaches us, to welcome the people around us, to extend his hospitality to every person we meet. How do we do it? Now and suggests two simple ways. First of all, he says, we do it by paying attention to the other person, by focusing on them, concentrating on them, looking at them. I had this brought to my mind most vividly a long time ago when our youngest daughter was about 2 or 2.5 years of age. I was the pastor in a church in Rocky Mount that was growing rapidly. I was spending all of my time working at the church. I'd get up in the morning, I'd have breakfast and leave before the children got up, and I would go to the church and do the office work, and then I would visit in the afternoon and come home and have supper, and then usually would go to the church or go visit in the evening as I tried to keep up the hectic pace of the church life. One afternoon I came home and supper wasn't quite ready, and I sat down in the den in the lounge chair. You know, there's that chair, sort of daddy's chair that everybody has that you flop into when you're tired. I went into the den, I flopped down into the chair, and picked up the newspaper and began to read. I'd only glanced at the headlines that morning, and as I was engrossed in the newspaper, Ruth, our daughter, came up and stood beside the arm of the chair and put her hands on the arm of the chair, and she began to talk to me about things that were important to her. Now, I know none of you would ever do this, but I ignored her. I just went on reading the paper. I grunted every now and then to make her think I was listening, but I really wasn't paying attention. And with all the boldness of a two-year-old, she jumped up in my lap. She straddled me. She took her hand and she knocked the paper out of my hands. She put her little hands on my cheeks and she said, "Daddy, look at me. Daddy, look at me." And in the 33 years that have passed since that moment, I have discovered one thing: that every person I meet is wanting my attention. They're saying to me, in one way or another, "Look at me, pay attention to me, focus on me." Nouwen says it's a hard thing to pay attention to the other person because we're so preoccupied with our own needs and our own thoughts and our own ideas. You know what I mean? We're caught up in ourselves, aren't we? And that often keeps us from paying attention to the people around us. Our children, our spouse, those other persons close to us, we're so caught up in our own thing that we don't pay attention to the people around us. I believe that the ministry of the United Methodist Retirement Homes is a ministry of paying attention to the senior adults in our society, looking at them, focusing on them, paying attention to them, and in their loneliness, speaking their name day by day by day, so that they know that someone cares for them, that someone looks them in the eye, and in one way or another says to them, "You're important to me. I care about you. God bless you." That's the ministry of the church. To go out into the world and to look people in the eye and say to them, "I care about you." And when we do that, we offer them the hospitality of God. Pay attention to the other person. Focus on them. Look at them. And the second thing is to offer people a place to belong, a place to be at home, a place of community where they are free to come and go, to eat or to fast, to speak or to be silent. They're free to be who they are, to be at home. Again, I believe that's what we seek to do through your United Methodist Retirement Homes, is we offer people a place in their last years where they can be free to live. Some people say, "Well, you go to retirement home as a place to die." I say you come as a place to live and to experience an abundant life. And that's what Jesus says we're to offer to the world, a place where people can come and be free to be who they are, to live and to love and to share life with one another. We need to encourage each other to be like that widow in Zarephath, to open our lives up to the strangers God sends into our midst, knowing that when we do so, it is we who experience the salvation and the presence and the nearness of God. May God fill your heart with the love and grace of Jesus Christ, that you may go forth from this place to offer to every person you meet the hospitality of God. Amen.